Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Lead Defend Podcast. We are glad you are with us for another episode. I am Bill.
This is Brock.
And we are, again, glad to have you with us. Thanks for hanging in as we started the new season a couple episodes ago. Glad to be back in. We are at an annual meeting and got our good, faithful friend, kind of an honorary Arkansan, Mr. Ed Newton, with us today.
And family member, because that makes two Newtons.
Two Newtons
on the
right.
On the podcast.
That's right. I actually have had people ask me, they're like, are you guys brothers?
Man, I wish I looked as good as you.
Nepotism.
Absolutely.
Well, brother, it is good to have you with us today. You have done a lot in the state of Arkansas. Back when you were an evangelist, you were in the state a whole lot. And you've been at Super Summer, I think, three different times from what I remember.
Sir, at least.
We've had you at all kinds of conferences before.
Honored.
So, man, thanks. For those who may not be familiar with you, tell them a little bit about your ministry that you're doing now, a little bit about your family.
Yeah, we are pastoring a church in San Antonio called Community Bible Church. We've been there almost 10 years. January 26 will be 10 years. And came off the road, as you mentioned, as an evangelist, to take my very first pastorate at a church. And that's been a journey. So a lot of life lessons that I wish I would have known going into that in regards to how to be a better leader. Maybe we could talk about that today.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that I've learned along the way that went, man, this has been life-changing for me. So grateful. I love if anybody from Community Bible Church comes across this podcast, you are a pastor's dream. Mm. So
that's cool.
Awesome.
That's good. So one of the things that we're doing in the state is an initiative called called Explore Your Call, helping students who feel called to ministry wrestle with that or help them walk alongside them with that. So one of the things that we like to do is just ask our podcast guests to briefly share their own call to ministry, what that looked like. Because one of the things that we say at those Explore Your Call roundtables as we work with students is everybody's call looks different. There's no one way that God calls people. And so share with our listeners, if you would, about your own call to ministry.
Yeah, I got saved in high school and grew up in a home where both of my parents were deaf. And so there wasn't a lot of ministry for deaf people except for Christmas and Easter. And then so I get saved in the ninth grade and then really still not churched. I just know I'm not going to hell. That's really all I know, and that Jesus died for me and he's my savior. And then in the 10th grade, we go and visit a church that we're late to, which is so crazy. We're like, we were late to, and they were singing a song in sign language.
Wow.
The moment we walked in, the whole church. And there was nobody that was deaf, a part of the church. The worship pastor who's already passed away, his name was Craig Stamper at Parkway Baptist Church in Orlando, Florida, where I grew up, had taught the church one song in sign language. And the day we show up late, they're singing that one song.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad were like, this is our church. And I was like, there's nobody that knows sign language except for that one song. And we plugged in. Well, I didn't know my parents had signed that card, you know, that visitor card.
Yeah.
And the youth pastor showed up and man, he loved God and shared his faith with me, brought some students with him. As we know, as student pastors, that's what you do. You just bring teenagers along with you.
Yeah.
And man, Brother Joe Allison was his name. He was a recovering drug addict that gave his life to Jesus, former lifeguard, Daytona Beach, Florida, and then sold out to Jesus and the Jesus movement. And loved God and loved students. And for me, he began to go, hey man, once you get plugged in. And I don't know if our audience knows this or not, but it's hard to believe. There wasn't LED walls when we were growing up in worship. There was what was called an overhead projector. And I had the job.
Yeah. Flannel graphs.
All of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you write down the lyrics of the song, which were not these cool songs that we sing today. Mm-hmm. These were like songs like Pharaoh, Pharaoh.
Oh, yeah.
Let my people go. You know, kind of stuff with hand motions. Every song had a hand motion.
That's right, it did.
And that's what we did. Which, by the way, we'd never sing those songs like outside of church. They were just completely youth group songs.
That's right.
And I was in charge of the overhead projector, small step in this. And it was a little bit of this, an announcement here. And then Brother Joe leaves my senior year of high school and a youth pastor who's still working with students today at First Baptist Church, Panama City. His name is David Flatt. And he does ministry there, but he also bought as many of you know, World Changers. And so he and a team bought that and still doing student ministry, which I honor Brother David. And God began to call a bunch of dudes to ministry my senior year of high school. It was crazy. Like almost, I'm not even exaggerating, like 15 to 20 young men got called to ministry. And shout out to my good bro, Sean Callender, who is a associate pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church. He was my first Christian friend that I ever had. Like I got saved in high school and he was my first Christian friend and he got called to ministry. I got called to ministry and a bunch of other people got called to ministry. And so for me personally, because so many guys were getting called to ministry and guys were speaking that over me, I was really resistant because it seemed like that's what, I know this sounds really bizarre. Everybody was surrendering to ministry and that obviously is not normal.
Right.
It should be normal, but it wasn't normal. So I was really hesitant, but on one particular Sunday night, in April of 1994, a preacher was preaching Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I remember it. He goes, "Who will go for?" He reads it, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." So I walked down the aisle at Parkway Baptist Church, and I go, "I feel like God's calling me to ministry. But you got to know I just made a 540 on my SAT." True story. And my son and I were on our way to school this morning. And he goes, "Dad, I think I got PSATs this week." I was like, "Hey, bro, I need you to do well. I need you to do really well. You're going to save me a lot of money if you can get a good SAT score." He was like, "Well, I took it last year. I don't think I did really well." I was like, "What'd you get?" He was like, "A 980. Yeah. Wow. I was like, he was like, "Well, Dad, how'd you do?" I was like, "Well, bro, I got a 540, you know? So all that to say, I walked forward. And tell this pastor, I go, "I think God's calling me to the ministry, but you just need to know I made a 540. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, "Hey, man, it has nothing to do with your ability, but it has everything to do with your availability." So at 18 years old, I surrendered to ministry. I just failed the SAT. I wanted to go play college basketball, but I couldn't pass the SAT. And then my high school basketball coach, who was not a believer, reached out to a Christian college and come to find out they needed a point guard. And so I go off to a Bible college to get Bible training. And it was just all of that happened.
Yeah.
April, May, I graduate high school.
Wow.
Like right at the end. And then that began the journey of getting Bible training and getting seminary and going into ministry. And so ordained in 1997. And then I was check this out. I was a youth pastor my senior year of college. Going to school full-time, part-time youth pastor. All my home games had the youth group at it. It was so
that's so really cool.
Your own like cheering section.
Totally.
Yeah.
Signs really that said, cool. "That's our youth pastor."
Wow.
Number four.
That's cool.
It was incredible. So, yeah, that was some sweet days. And been a wild journey since. Student pastor, college pastor, young adult pastor, single adult pastor, recreation pastor, and traveling evangelist for most of my ministry. And now as a pastor for 10 years. So been in ministry since 97.
Yeah. And you said around 10 years at CBC now.
CBC, yeah.
And a minute ago you mentioned, you know, some of the leadership lessons you've learned along the way. And, you know, learning through failure is a painful way to learn.
Painful.
A difficult way to learn. But I think a lot of our listeners could really benefit from that. You know, I was going to ask you some tips to how to go viral as a church, because you guys have had some awesome moments where you guys have had some moments in your worship service. I have
very
to say, probably one of my favorite was the unexpected McDonald's jingle.
Oh, that, I didn't expect you to say that.
Yeah,
one.
There have been a lot of very meaningful.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
Exactly. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Just Google it. I saw somebody try to copycat it the other day,
really?
And I really wanted to
that's
defense.
Flattery.
Exactly. But probably a more beneficial topic for our listeners is some of the leadership lessons you've learned along the way. We just got to hear you talk a minute ago, and you mentioned about some difficult days.
Some dark days.
Some growth that began by subtraction,
totally.
Which is really hard to see in the totally. Beginning. And so walk us through a little bit about what that looked like.
Yeah, I think for me, when you're an insecure leader that has been given a platform of significance, it could. Christine Kane says it best. When the light on you is brighter than the light in you, the light on you will crush you.
Yeah.
And so when you have an expectation of walking into a very successful church, and you're not the guy that people thought was coming.
Yeah.
But the founding pastor who picked me, there was no like no committee. He started the church, yeah, and it was a pastor-led church, so he picked me. Like, God told me it's you, mm-hmm, kind of guy. He believed in me. He was always like, be you, be you, be you. But when you start getting the criticism and you start watching the fallout and you start watching people go, you're not him. He was voted the top 25 most influential person in San Antonio behind Greg Popovich.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's who I had to follow. And he didn't set me up for failure. I say this out loud. I set myself up for failure.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of going, well, I'm going to be this and I'm going to do this. And all of those things were not true of who I was. And I think when you're insecure and you don't know who you are, then you operate in a mentality of I'm longing for acceptance and I will earn it and achieve it versus walk in as just Pastor John just mentioned, just, yeah, and it was so good to sit in that session. Just be faithful.
Yeah.
And be faithful to the calling of just privately walking with God, and he will take care of the public reality of that. And I was doing that, walking with God privately, but publicly it wasn't going well. And so I go into a season where, and I'm gonna give credit where credit is due, there's a guy named Steve Cockrum that is a leadership coach, walks with God, loves God, a lot of corporate stuff, but it's really out of what's called a 3DM movement that took place overseas in Europe, mm-hmm, that began to birth a lot of house churches. And just through some tools, man, he assessed me and he began to ask a question. He said, I gotta find out why you're operating in what he called a left-handed reality. I'm right-handed. And so he goes, you're operating in this leadership role left-handed. It just feels like you're maximizing actually a deficiency in you, which would be more of and this is really lengthy for our audience and I don't want to go all the way into it, but there are five personality profiles that are significant and they don't completely line up to APES, which is apostle, pastor, evangelist, shepherd, teacher,
right,
but they're pretty similar, mm-hmm, which is connector, creative, pioneer, guardian, nurturer. Mm. And so they kind of line up quasi. Mm. He goes, you have more of a creative, prophetic, evangelist spirit about you, but you're operating as a guardian, nurturer, which is systems, process. And he goes, and that's not you. And so you're having... It seems like you're operating in a gifting that's not yours.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It was revelatory to me. And he made me do this. He goes, can you write your name left-handed? I go, yeah, again, with a name like Ed, it's not too hard. So I write my name left-handed. He goes, write a sentence. So I write a sentence. He goes, write a paragraph. And he could tell, like, I'm for those, obviously this is an audio, I'm struggling writing this.
You're tired. Your hands
are tired. He goes, and that's what's going to happen to you. You're writing left-handed. And then he said this. He goes, I give you 7 years, year seven, you will have a moral failure. He goes, you'll take your bag of tricks and go somewhere else. Or you'll just quit. You'll burn out. And I said, why? He goes, because here's what happens. Guys like you, in your fear of failure, start trying to become very myopic on certain things that you feel like I got to control. Because at the level of what you're trying to accomplish, in essence, you can't deliver. You need a team around you that can do this. He says, but you're not going to give up. And here's what will happen. You'll burn yourself out. And he goes, and then it leads to isolation. And we know what happens with people with isolation. They end up in moments of devastation. And he goes, and that's the slippery slope.
Yeah.
And it's not just you. It's for anybody that does that. And so I'm just going to kind of overlay that on top of you and go, so what are you going to do about it? And I had to begin to ask this question. What's it like to be on the other side of me? Hmm. What's it like? And he goes, you can't lead others if you can't lead yourself. Right. But you can't lead yourself if you don't know yourself. And that's where I began to do the deep dive work. Eventually that would lead into counseling. Hmm. That led to a place of, okay, what is it in me that has a performance mentality? What is it in me that has a fear of failure? What is it in me that wants to be a people pleaser? What is it in me that hyper focuses on things that I can't control. And I just begin to layer by layer by layer by layer work through that stuff. Mm. And, but it, as you mentioned, it led me to a very dark place of not wanting to live on December 26th, 2023. And that led me to a place. There were some external things that were happening in my family that led to a lot of discouragement for me. And then there were some internal things that were taking place in regards to depression and anxiety. And to our audience, just some things chemically that just weren't right. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're aging and stuff just doesn't feel right. You're not motivated. And I'm not trying to get into the biological reality of this, but testosterone starts lowering and cortisol starts increasing. And these are things that we have to be mindful of. So I don't, and I just say this out loud, man, I didn't feel good. So because I didn't feel good, I didn't think good. And if I didn't think good, I didn't believe good, if I could say it that way.
It's dominoes.
It's a domino. And then I met Brian Stone and he's my counselor. And he just began to go, let's go back and let's work through this. Plus, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that in the next session.
Yeah.
That really began just to revitalize a lot. And this is why, for me, Why Not You is not just a book for me that God gave me. It came out of the darkest night of my soul. That a guy said to me, there's two guys, two church members, a guy named Chuck Yates, one percenter, motorcycle missionary, and a guy named Cameron Beckman, who is a senior PGA pro golfer. And Chuck Yates said to me in 2009 or 10, when I was the guest preacher at the church, I think he smelled my insecurity. And he goes, God's going to use somebody. Why not you? As I was about to speak at a men's conference, I had hair down on my shoulders, flat bill cap. And this is before I became pastor. 6 years later, I'd become pastor. But he just said that to me, and it just stuck with me. On my mirror right now is this phrase, why not you? God's going to use somebody. Why not me? Not a self-confidence, God confidence. Because I really believe God wants to use people.
Yeah.
God could do it on his own, but he chooses to use us. Cameron Beckman goes, is it a sin? He asked me a question. We were walking in what's known as the Valero Open. We were following Rory McIlroy in a practice round. In a backswing of Rory McIlroy, he goes, is it a sin? He's fairly new to the things of God. He goes, is it a sin not to believe what God believes about you?
Wow.
And I was like, shoot. I was like, I've never been asked that question before. And I go, yeah. To not believe what God believes about you is to doubt what he has already decreed and declared about you, which is to say, no, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And that no is various reasons. But at the root of it is, you're saying this to me, but I don't believe you. And man, that wrecked me. So a part of that was, what am I believing about God? See, when it comes to identity and leadership specifically, and we could go down this road as well, I think a lot of people begin a self-discovery with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's the wrong step. I think it's important.
Right.
It can't be first step.
Right.
First step is, who's God?
It's more foundational.
Who is he? Is he good? Can he be trusted? Is he sovereign? Mm-hmm. Does Romans 8:28 apply in all things? And so you start going through, did God bring me this far to drop me now? Has he been faithful in the past? So you start beginning to build the foundation of like who God is. Is he really in control? Do I believe fully that nothing is too hard for him? Do I believe Job 42 verse 2 when it says his plans cannot be thwarted? Do I really believe greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Do I really believe that? And that began the tilt in the direction of going, man, I got to stop walking in security and inadequacy. Mm-hmm. And because power and life is in the tongue. And I was saying such negative things over my life, like, I'm just stupid. Mm. Or, man, I'm always going to be dyslexic. I'm always going to be ADD. I'm always going to be, you know, fill in the blank of all the other symptoms that I got going on. You know, it's just the I'm just going to be, it never works out for me. I'm always going to be late, not like time wise, but late to see what God's got for me. I was like, man, I and that's why I think in Romans 12, 2, I don't think I know, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not careful, religion deals with behavior modification before it ever tries to change belief. Mm-hmm. But I believe the scripture goes through heart transformation that leads to a proper belief that leads to proper behavior. And if we're just trying to fix behavior, mm-hmm. like do better,
right,
then it may work for 6 days after camp because you heard a really cool talk at Super Summer. And, but what happens when all of a sudden that, I'll call it that spiritual buzz goes away.
So for somebody who is in a similar place, whether it be in ministry, personal life, whatever, what would you suggest to them as, hey, here's the first couple of steps you need to take to begin working through that?
Yeah. One, I'd just be honest. I think, man, just be honest. I think the enemy wants us to keep our stuff a secret. You ever read James 5:16? It says, confess, like we know 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to Jesus. Obviously he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another. Mm-hmm. And in this produces healing. Mm-hmm. How many times have you sat across the table from a student, a leader that was just like, hey, I got to share this with you. And then you ask them, hey, how do you feel afterwards? They go, I just feel 1,000 pounds lighter.
Right? Yeah, very much so.
I think it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. I think that's why Galatians 5 says that we're called to bear one another's burdens. But how does someone bear your burden if they don't know your burden? Mm-hmm. So I think it begins with a moment of honesty and confession. You can't share that with everybody. Not everybody's going to be able to receive that. I think the right people need to be shared with, and that would be somebody that would be called a confidant or accountability partner. But I think that's the next step. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about that? And for me personally, there's a lot of resources out there that someone can get to. But I'm a big believer in biblical guidance counseling, someone that's able to help you. I think the Christian church has been so afraid of psychology.
Yeah.
Like we're like, it's kind of quacky and wacky and all that stuff. But I think there's really some very scientific things that are taking place in the human body that we cannot spiritualize and put bumper stickers over.
Absolutely.
And I think when we talk about psychology and how the brain works and how the body works, I think there's an importance to this. That's why I think it's important to do a couple of things. One, I think it's always worth getting a medical checkup just to get your blood checked. Mm-hmm. Like a thyroid could be producing something or not producing something, and you wonder why you feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. Or your T levels could be low. And I know this is not like a Dr. Phil like session, but I'm just telling you, yes, spiritual guidance, spiritual counseling, spiritual wisdom, prayer, all of that. But what is going to change your way of thinking? Well, the Lord does that. But I'll give you an example. We don't, unless you have somebody that knows how to actually systematically walk with you and go back into the chronicles of your life, ask strategic questions, listen and receive it, process it in a real-time scenario and go, hey, here's some things that I hear, see, feel. Pastors can do that, but not every pastor. Man, I took one counseling class.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is the hard part of this conversation, is that most pastors and ministers are not trained to walk with somebody and go, what are the sore spots in your life that actually you've been operating out of that you've not allowed to be healed? Mm-hmm. Because you took that whatever point of trauma, that trauma turns to a trigger, that trigger turns to a trajectory, and that trajectory leads down to an unfortunate level of pain and anguish that we go, well, that doesn't affect me. I just kind of push that far deep down. But then when somebody hits that trigger point, man, it's connected to a trauma, and it leads to a trajectory. But this is why, and I'm not, this is not a shameless plug for this book, okay? But I wanted to answer that question, what do they do? And I wanted to put it in a book. Good. And that's why I wrote the book called Why Not You? I was like, man, we got to help people. Yeah. So I took a lot of psychology and biblical counseling and all of this and went, here's how you begin to believe what God believes about you. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear all of the leadership lessons of that. But to me, I just want to be able to give a resource to somebody because it's a long walk in the same direction.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's important that we surround ourselves, as we heard Pastor John talk about, we surround ourselves with people of wisdom and guidance and counsel. Mm-hmm. But let's just be honest about what we're going on in our past.
Yeah.
Our past has more nature, nurture, nature, nurture. Nobody really wants to talk about this. Nature is who you are, how God wired you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nurture is the things that shaped you. And that can be positive and negative.
Yeah, it can.
And it impacts a lot of things. But if we don't go down that road, because I mean, that's the thing. People are like, oh, that has no bearing. No, there's a great book called Your Body Keeps Score.
Yeah.
We're absorbing things and we don't even know the ruts. It's like in Australia, there's this outback kind of off the road path that says, pick your rut carefully. You'll be in it for several hundred more miles. And our brain creates neural pathways that are ruts. It's the reason why you're able as a driver. I know this is true. It happens to me, happens to you. The places that you've gone over and over and over again, that you can actually drive to that place and not even really pay attention.
Yeah.
And you can actually get there and go, how did I get here?
Sometimes you start going there when you mean to go somewhere else.
Totally.
Because you're not paying attention. You're on autopilot.
You're on autopilot. And that's the neuropathways.
Yeah.
So in order to what if you're an autopilot in the wrong direction?
Mm.
And all you know is to go that way. And you think that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
But then finally somebody goes, hey, that's not normal. You're taking the long way to get there. There's a different way to get here. Then you have to have somebody that's able to navigate you to that place and disrupt the tendencies. But how do you do that? Neural pathways have to be redeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be redeveloped. Well, that's why scripture, I really believe the miracle of God. I believe God, for somebody that's experienced trauma, for somebody that's experienced pain, for somebody that's experienced hardship, I believe that God can allow that sore spot or whatever it is to be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I believe it. He could rewire neural pathways.
Yeah.
But most people think, well, I'll overcome it and I'll deal with it as it comes. And it's like, man, can't do it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very true. That's so good. So again, the book is Why Not You? Believing What God Believes About You. Mm-hmm. And so you can pick that up. I'd love to end by just hearing the kind of final piece to this story. So, you know, you begin and things obviously don't go the way you expect. Mm-hmm. You get brought through this process. You kind of realize some things that you've been talking about. Now let's talk about on the other side. Mm-hmm. What does leadership look like now?
Yeah. So, you know, the crazy part is that all of a sudden, I want to couch this in humility.
Yeah.
Okay. But to be like 18th largest church in America,
mm-hmm.
in Outreach Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, cool. The very thing I chased in my insecurity.
Mm.
You go, it doesn't define me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, to go, that doesn't, I was chasing that.
Mm-hmm.
But why was I chasing those recognitions? So somebody wouldn't call me because I was called the fluke pastor. That took over.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Jury's still out on you, man. Wow. Kind of stuff, you know? Like, hey, man, you know, you weren't qualified. Yeah, I know I wasn't qualified. Absolutely. So to me, I was chasing all these rewards and recognitions. And I really believe this because of what I've been through. This, whatever success as the world defines it, it doesn't define me. And I can honestly say with the healthiest place in my heart and life is to go, I'm just trying to steward influence and be faithful
mm-hmm.
to what God's called me to. And now And Craig Groeschel said this, Pastor Craig said, that the most important person in regards to the organization is a healthy leader. Hmm. Not just the primary leader, but all leaders have to be healthy leaders. And so that's why I think it matters. And how do you become a healthy leader? Becoming a healthy leader is to actually come to the place, and I'll close with this, is Jesus gets baptized and God the Father speaks over him. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know. I know y'all have thought about this, but maybe our audience hasn't. Has he done any miracles? He didn't even do anything. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. 30 years of obscurity. Walks in the Jordan River. God goes, hey, pleased with you. What do you do? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's God in the flesh. I get that. Yeah. But from a performance standpoint, he's done nothing. I mean, nothing. No breaking of bread. No walking on the water. He's done nothing. But here's the statement for somebody listening. Then he goes forward in a public ministry from a place of acceptance, mm-hmm. not for acceptance. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm living in.
Yeah.
I'm pressing. I want that.
Yeah.
I want to wake up and go, the Father's pleased. Not because of what I do, but because of who I am in Christ. Mm-hmm. So I hope that helps somebody.
Yeah, that's a totally different mindset, waking up mm-hmm. from a place of favor rather than waking up with the anxiety or fear of, am I going to be enough today?
Totally.
Is he going to be pleased with me
today? Totally. And we live so fragilely. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is what I was talking about. One email, one criticism, mm-hmm. and and that's what my counselor told me. He goes, Ed, you unravel. It's your day's ruined, your week's ruined with the one thing. He goes, you cannot be that fragile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not fragile. You know what I'm saying? I'm not soft. Yeah. You know, in that moment, and that's what happens. But when you go at the end of the day, my Father is pleased with me because Christ in me.
Yeah.
And then the importance of like my wife looking me in the face and going, I'm proud of you. Honored to be your wife and my kids and friends that you go, you don't love me for what I do. You love me for who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part for a pastor and a leader, because there's transactional relationships people have mm-hmm. that are unbeknownst. You do this, I do this. And the question we all have to ask is like, if we weren't behind these microphones and didn't have titles and roles, would we still be friends? You know,
yeah.
Like, would we really want to be together if it wasn't the microphone that brought us to this table?
Gotcha.
And what you find out real quick and is to go, when I don't give you what you want, church member, will you stay? Mm-hmm. No, you'll take your ball and go home and you'll go to another church and you'll hold another church hostage for the very thing that you want them to do for you and let you have versus a mission of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment.
Mm.
And I think sometimes as leaders, we operate that way.
Yeah.
And and where I'm at 50, and maybe it's just kind of a halftime moment in my life, I'm going, I really want authentic relationships that are not based upon what you do. Mm-hmm. It's a part of our world, I get that, but it's like, I want to be able to look Bill and you in the face and go, hey man, love you for you. Mm-hmm. Not that badge you got on your shirt right there, but you. Because I think you're an awesome dude. I think you've been faithful to God, serving faithfully, now serving at the convention. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
You know? So, and that's where I'm at. And if you never do something for me and I never do something for you, at the end of the day, it's like, I think you're awesome. You know? So, I hope that helps.
That's good. More questions. But you have a schedule.
You said you had 25 minutes, and I think
good.
I extended it.
No, you're good. I appreciate it.
We're at 33.
It was worth the overtime.
Wow. Yeah, we're at 33. But, bro, you would be welcome to stay an hour.
Yeah, I would talk an hour, I promise.
Yeah. But it's good. But we'll let you cut. So thank you for joining us today. Thanks for being here at annual meeting. Thanks for all you have poured into those in Arkansas.
Love it.
As a whole. And
love Arkansas.
But I also know there's a lot of individual people that you've also poured into very, very much.
Some of the greatest people live in the state of Arkansas.
There are some great folks here, man. And our state loves you much. So appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. We always want to be looking forward to Lead Defend in the spring semester. So whether you're listening a few years from this or it's right down the road, know leaddefend.org for all the updates. And we need to get Ed to Lead Defend. I'm just saying we need to figure that out. We need to figure that out. But Lead Defend always around the corner. Check us out at leaddefend.org. We'll see you next time.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.